I'm Paul Wiegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. In the studio with me today are representatives of First Date Ballet, the Executive Director Robert Grenfell.
Hello.
And local composer Sean Dougherty.
Hello.
Welcome. The reason Sean is here is because of a really exciting world premiere coming up with First State Ballet. Robert, for our listeners, just real quick, because you've been on the show before, but just a refresher on First State Ballet.
First State Ballet is the finest ballet company ever to exist in the state of Delaware. For the past three seasons, we have been Delaware's busiest and most ubiquitous performing arts company with more than two dozen performances of 12 programs in anywhere from 10 to 13 venues from Arden to Selbyville. And each year we try to present either a Delaware or a world premiere. This year we are delighted to announce that we have the world premiere of an original ballet by local composer, guitarist, and teacher Sean Dougherty, and a Delaware premiere of the wonderful Cinderella Ballet by Prokofiev.
And Robert, what you have to say about First State Ballet is not hyperbole. It's all accurate and true to the contributions you make to Delaware. Sean, let's hear a little bit about your background as a musician and composer, and then we'll pull the two together, you and First State Ballet.
Sure. I come from a family of musicians, unfortunately. Nah, fortunately, it's a good thing. Went to Berklee College of Music, got my degree there, toured around a lot, spent about 7 years in Vegas, and I'm bringing a pinch of Vegas to this thing, so I think that's kind of exciting. And then here I am. I've been in Delaware for about 4 years now. I grew up here as a kid. Now I'm back. Teach at the Grand Opera House. Have a couple of after-school classes at St. Mark's and Cab Calloway. And then this ballet just kind of came out of the blue. But it's, of all the things I've done, I've recorded some albums, I've toured, done tons of shows, live shows. This is the most exciting thing I've ever done. I'm done with everything else. This is it. Composing, writing. No, seriously. I'm not kidding. It's not written down anywhere. No, seriously, this is it.
You can't top this? Is that what it is?
Except for part two of Irene.
Until next time, right.
Yeah, there's going to be a sequel. Has there ever been a sequel to a ballet?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
If there hasn't,
it's going to be.
You'll be first, yeah.
Okay, so now let's hear about how the two of you got together on this project.
Well, I sort of heard through the grapevine that Sean had an idea for an original ballet, and I contacted him. He described what he had in mind, and I thought, this is really cool. This is edgy. This is urban. This is sophisticated. This will appeal to a younger demographic than we usually have in our ballet audience. And so we are promoting this heavily to teens through 30-somethings. And why don't you give the listeners a little bit of an idea of what happens to Irene and how you came up with the name Irene?
The name actually came from the hurricane that hit here about 3 years ago, was it?
Something like that
here in Delaware, Irene. And I thought, man, this is just off the charts ridiculous. Some people thought it was terrifying. I thought it was beautiful. Somehow, in my mind, that led to writing some music. This whole idea for me of music, dissonance versus consonance, tension, release, I really took that idea. I don't know. It just started happening. You know, I've had other songwriter friends over the years. Oh, it just happened. Well, it did. It does. Mm-hmm. It did just happen. Irene, a young girl, comes from a small town to the big city. Has no idea what's going on. Young, naive, beautiful, talented. All of a sudden, the short version is she has some kind of odd dance teachers.
Yeah, she joins the ballet company of her dreams.
Yeah.
And then discovers what?
They're vampires. There is. And now I've been a vampire fan before Twilight. I'm like Anne Rice kind of vampire thing. Because I thought it would be an edgy thing. We follow the show. Irene is constantly being dragged from balls to bedrooms to through the streets till the very end when...
I can't tell the end.
No, you have to come though. There were actually two endings, and I think we'll flip a coin to see which one we do.
Yeah, and
Robert
don't forget
that.
To mention that we're going to have a live pit band with a 12-person symphonic string section, a percussion section, grand piano, Sean on guitar, a conductor, and all the musicians have been hired by Sean, and the music is really cool. We previewed an excerpt at our in-studio series back in November of last year, and we had an audience from 8 years old to 78 years old, and to a person, they absolutely loved it. We brought the band in, was the ball scene in which we've recruited three local cultural leaders to except walk-on roles, and the audience loved it. So we're promoting this via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, websites, postcards, you name it, and we're looking to add that audience of teens through 30-somethings to our typical audience.
And before I forget to ask, and I'll try and remember a couple times, let's give the details on when and where Irene is going to be performed and where they can get information about it.
It's going to be one performance only on the main stage of the Grand Opera House, Friday, February the 21st at 7 p.m. You can order tickets online at www.ticketsatthegrand.org, or you can call 1-800-37-GRAND. The tickets are $28 to $48 for adults, half off for students 18 and under. We also have a $5 discount for seniors, groups, and military.
And this is an original performance, world premiere.
All original.
Sean, a little bit about the music itself and how it fits into the scope of the music that you've been composing over time.
Well, I do have some classical background as far as writing for strings, all the symphony instruments. But I also have a heavy background in rock and jazz. I wanted the idea of the string section in one kind of half of this whole musical idea, and then the rhythm section on the other. Every human on the planet responds to rhythm. You might not like strings, you might not like guitar. You respond to rhythm. So there's a heavy driving rhythmic component to this. And then I just love the strings. It's gorgeous. That was the sound I knew I had to have. Lush strings, the piano in the mix, and myself on guitar. Not jazz guitar. This is going to be full-blown rock guitar. It's going to be loud. So I think that will appeal to a lot of people, too. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited. I'm going to be in the pit. I'm in the band because it's mine. I can do this.
Yep. Now, you consciously wrote this as
yes.
a ballet. Is that correct?
Yes.
So what considerations went into that as opposed to just composing music for music's sake?
I always wanted to be a film, write scores for films, and this was actually kind of close to that. You know, the story kind of popped up in my head. I just kind of started writing it, and then what was so interesting to me was you have these characters, and you have scenes that are sweet or sad or angry or happy, and then to craft the music to that with tension, with simple harmonies, with complex harmonies, with fast, slow. Different combinations of the strings. It was fun. You know, it was very exciting to put it together. To me, it was easy. It was a ton of work. It was more work than anything mm-hmm. I've ever done in my life. But it was easy just to put the music together. I mean, I could see it. It's kind of like, what, you can't see that? That's what should be there. This is what should be here. So, yeah, I'm excited.
And we have a great choreographer, too.
Did you construct a storyline to... as part of this whole music composition?
Yes, I actually started the music first. I got about 5 minutes in, and I thought, what am I going to do? It's going to be a ballet. Because I knew a lot of the dancers from working at the Grand, First State Ballets in the Grand also. I thought, this is amazing. Plus, I've seen a lot of First State Ballet performances, and they're amazing. And that's where I kind of came up with, I lost my thought. The story. Yes, I came up with the story. The story also just kind of happened. I named the thing Irene, and then it was just like, oh, yeah, small town girl, big city. And then what's going to happen? Vampires. I like vampires. We all like vampires. And so we kind of skit-scat through the streets in a huge ballroom scene. And then at the end,
No spoiler alert.
It was a big thing at the end of the first act, too, but I can't tell you that.
But let's talk about the choreographer.
Yeah, please.
Alex Buckner, really talented young man, graduated from Las Vegas School for the Performing Arts, and he choreographed one piece we performed at the 2011 Delaware Arts Summit mm-hmm. for four dancers and four red chairs, of which the audience loved. He choreographed our Delaware premiere of A Midsummer Night's Dream last year, which was absolutely spectacular. In fact, I had a woman remarked to me after the performance that she wished she had seen the ballet before she read the Shakespeare play, because the Shakespeare play totally confused her. But Sean's choreography explained the story so perfectly that she wished she had seen that first. So Sean is also, I'm sorry.
You said
Alex.
Sean. I don't
Sean's
dance.
A musician. Alex is a choreographer.
I am not a dancer.
Alex is also choreographing the Delaware premiere of Cinderella. So his choreography is witty, it's intelligent, it's a blend of classical and contemporary choreography, and our audiences have found it fascinating, beautiful, exciting. And Irene will continue to add to Alex's reputation as a choreographer.
Yeah, I think that's why it works with Alex and I. He's got the classical background. He's a legit dancer. But he's, what, 24? I mean, he's young and he's got some crazy ideas, and I love it. And I think that's the background of what I have. I have a traditional training, but years of experience on the road and just this crazy idea to write a ballet. And yeah, I'm excited.
Well, we're glad you have had the idea.
Well, there's much more to discuss, but first let me remind our listeners you're tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guests in the studio today are Robert Grenfell, the Executive Director of First State Ballet, and local composer Sean Dougherty, who has recently written a ballet, Irene, which will be performed by First State Ballet at the Grand Opera House on February 21st at 7 p.m. Sean, I'm curious about, as you were thinking through the story, writing the music, did you visualize dance in your head, or have you totally left that up to Alex and his choreography?
Nothing.
And how has that whole process worked?
Nothing.
Putting it together?
I have no idea what he's doing. I handed him the music and the story. I haven't even seen him. They started rehearsals, what, a week or two ago?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
I probably should look. But I'll be in the pit. I won't see it anyway.
It'll be a pleasant surprise.
I trust him completely. I have no problem. He and I spent some time earlier discussing the story, and I kind of said, well, maybe she comes here and does this. And his ideas just put mine to shame. I mean, it was like mine were nothing. I mean, he knows what he's doing. And there's so many cool features with lighting. We're going for a very minimal type set because it's what's necessary for this particular ballet. Tons of lighting effects. And his ideas were just, I was like, I would have never thought of that. So I can't wait to see it myself. I hope someone's going to video this thing.
Yeah, first production meeting was fantastic. The ideas that were generated in that production meeting were very exciting, very unusual, very original. And I think our audience is going to really enjoy this ballet. Very stark settings. A lot of lighting effects, great choreography, beautiful, tuneful, exciting, rhythmic, accessible, hummable music.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's good melodies in here too. It's not all just drums and guitar. Yeah. That's in the next one.
I'd love to hear more about the creative process, because an original ballet like this with a theme that is so popular in today's culture is quite different for a ballet company to tackle than, you know, ballets that have been done before, and you have different examples to draw from. Could you speak to that whole creative process?
Absolutely.
Robert?
You raise a wonderful point. We're ballet in America is sort of walking on a knife edge, and a big concern for us is programming. So we need to program things that are either standard, well-known ballets like Sleeping Beauty or Swan Lake, or we try to create ballets around well-known artworks from other art forms like The Adventures of Pinocchio a few years ago. And this opportunity to work with Sean on a vampire-themed ballet seemed tailor-made for us. And frankly, I was concerned that the popularity of vampires might evaporate before we got this to the stage.
Nope.
But I've been watching and asking my granddaughter whether zombies and vampires are still popular, and they are. And so we're always trying to grow our audience. Our typical audience member is perhaps maybe 45 years old, usually suburban. And we're looking to persuade teens and 30-somethings that ballet is beautiful, it's exciting, it's athletic, it's artistic, it engages your mind, your spirit, and if you're a dancer, it engages your body. So we believe that what we do is so wonderful that everybody should know about it and should support it. So those are all the things that go into making up a season. And if Irene is as successful as we expect it will be, we're planning next year to do another possibly U.S. premiere of a ballet called The Young Lady and the Hooligan It's a very popular, well-known ballet in Russia, very contemporary music by Shostakovich. And we're thinking that if Irene is as successful as we expect it to be, that every February we will have an edgy, urban, sophisticated, contemporary ballet as part of our standard repertoire.
Well, that's great. Could you speak to how many dancers are going to be involved in this production?
All 22 of our professional company, largest professional ballet company that's ever existed in our state, and several of our advanced students. And our three local performing artists from opera and theater, who we hope will bring their fan clubs to see them on stage in the ballroom scene with a bunch of vampires. And I've already told these folks that they may, in addition to walking on stage, they may become an hors d'oeuvre, an appetizer, an entree, or a dessert. Mm-hmm. So come see it. It's going to be great.
What does the rehearsal process look like for a ballet?
We rehearse?
To mount a ballet.
We rehearse this? We're going to wing it.
Yeah, you did the music.
I'm going to improvise the whole thing.
You'll see it on video.
Yeah, I will.
But basically, you know, we had a production meeting. Everybody sat down. We talked about staging. We talked about the music. We talked about the plot. And then Alex Buckner took it from there. And so he's working with the dancers in the studio, choosing the people who are going to perform the principal roles, mm-hmm. and choosing interesting, exciting, beautiful steps to explain the story, because we can't speak in ballet. Mm-hmm. We have to do everything through mime and gesture and facial expressions and body movements. So he's putting it together in the studio, and it will be the costumes will be contemporary.
Yep.
The kind of costumes that hip young folks wear. And it's going to be just a very exciting, unusual show. And it's not going to be too scary. So if somebody wants to bring their 6 or 7 year old young person, they're not going to see zombies on the bedroom ceiling
or
anything.
Blood.
Like that.
We're not getting that kind of crazy. Right. This is about the music and the dancing. Right. We're, you know, the theatrics, you know, we're skipping a lot of that stuff. Just about the story. So.
Now, have you done a studio recording or a keyboard recording or something for the dancers to work from?
Yeah, I did a full demo through a program I have. It's all synth string samples. It's pretty darn close to what it's going to be like. Alex has, I cut it up. So scene by scene, he can just listen to the piece of music, the in-between music. He didn't need to hear that. So I handed him the music. It's a really good, pretty good quality demo. We're actually having a listening party.
Yeah, at the Hummingbird Speakeasy on Wednesday, February the 5th from 7 to 9.
Yep, and what we're going to do is, because we can't have a preview of this whole event, so we're going to play the music over the PA. I'm going to have selected cuts and kind of mix and match it around so you get to hear some of it. I'm trying to talk some of the dancers to come in costume. I don't know if that's going to happen, but...
Sure. If they're not working at Catherine Rooney's next
door. They could just come from downstairs, come upstairs.
Now, Robert, how long is the rehearsal process for the dancers and how intensive is it?
Well, we began rehearsals the second week in January. The show is the third week in February. So it's, about 6 week rehearsal schedule. Our dancers are all extremely talented. They're all intelligent. I tell people that to be a successful dancer, you have to be an artist, an athlete, and an intellectual. You have to bring your heart, your mind, your body. And they're prepared to concentrate. They're well-trained. Pasha and Christina do a phenomenal job of training our dancers and building not just their technique, but their artistry and their concentration and so forth. So they come ready to work.
And it's also an incredible amount of conditioning, just physical conditioning.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. a dancer's job is never done until the final injury until they decide that they're going to accept the offer to go into the movies or something.
Yeah, every time I hang around them, I'm like, I got to go home and do sit-ups. This is ridiculous. But, it's true.
In terms of the choreography, I'm intrigued. It's not a contemporary theme. I mean, the theme of vampires has been around for centuries.
Yeah.
But it's popular and contemporary.
It's set in current times. Right now is the time.
But my question is this. For the choreographer, and maybe this is a question for Alex, to what extent is there a heavy reliance on traditional ballet, and to what extent does he incorporate more contemporary dance, if that's a fair question.
Yeah, that's a fair question. I haven't seen many rehearsals, but I would say if you're going to break it down as a percentage, that it would be about 80% classical ballet and sort of a 20% overlay of contemporary movement, the kind of movement you might see in a music video and so forth. Alex is very innovative, and he manages to blend a variety of styles, including folk styles, including classical styles, contemporary. You probably see a little hip-hop in there. So I'd say about 80% classical and 20% contemporary and other.
But I think it would be fair to say that ballet really serves as the foundation for so many of the other dance styles anyway. Is that correct?
It does. You know, it's interesting. A lot of people who find themselves not as successful as they'd like to be in ballet go to modern dance or contemporary dance, and then they kind of look down their noses in retrospect at ballet. But, you know, I tell people that ballet training does not just train your body, it trains your intellect. And we have our DanceWorks program at the Grand, where we have more than 120 children from 7 or 8 downtown preschools and daycares, and it builds their confidence, poise, discipline, attention to detail, teamwork, respect for others. And a ballet training will stand anybody in good stead in whatever career they pursue, if they're going to be a doctor, lawyer, chef, guitarist, composer.
I couldn't do that stuff.
Well, in the 30 seconds left, Robert, could you remind our listeners again where they can find information out about the upcoming production of Irene?
The world premiere of Irene, Friday, February the 21st, on the main stage of Wilmington's Grand Opera House. Tickets are $28 to $48 for adults, half off for children, students 18 and under. 1-800-37-GRAND is the number. www.ticketsatthegrand.org is the website. If you want to get the discount, call the telephone number, because they can't give you a discount over the web. We'll look for you at Irene.
Yes.
Our guests today have been Robert Granfell from the First State Ballet Theater and local composer Sean Dougherty composing Irene, coming up at the Grand Opera House. Thanks so much, both of you, for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure.